Amen. Look at that beautiful future of the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We came here with a purpose today, and the purpose is to praise the Lord. The purpose is to thank God for what He's already done and what He's going to do. It's important that we don't lose sight or track of how good our God is. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house once again today. God, we thank you for just an awesome congregation, awesome children's ministry, Father God. God, we thank you, Father, that you are so loving, so kind, and so compassionate, that, God, you never leave us, you never forsake us. God, we thank you for the faithfulness that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Father, we know that everybody here today is struggling with something, and everybody's something is different. But, God, today I have a message that's kind of an old message, but it's been changed, but it's the same end result. God, you want to use broken people. So, Father, today, I thank you for the ministry that you've given us, that we are to reach those that are lost at any cost. It doesn't matter how destined to hell they think they are. God, they're made in your image, and every person has value and worth. God, I thank you for breaking our heart and sending us here 23 years ago, Father God, the care about a ghetto, a lost, forgotten place that you never forgot, that you never abandoned, that you never left. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to come in and just love people because this is your people. God, we love you for the anointing. God, we love you for who you are. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for us now. Well, all those people that don't have a seat, their seats now. Well, that's a good thing. And what we say, I teach you to come late, all right? Teach you to come late. So we're excited to be here today. And as I shared with you, I've got an old message here. And I preached it 5 years ago. But I just tell you, I took the guts out of it and put some new guts in it. And so it's going to hit a little different today. So if you think you've heard it, you haven't. And I think it's going to be different. And so, you know, I was reflective of, when they was asking me, I've been in ministry 26 years, but I've started officially 23 years ago. And I think about, I thought about this, what would I preach about on this day? And I was torn between two different messages. And the first one was, which I preached at the grand opening of our church, when we opened the church part of it. And on that day, that October the 11th day, over a decade and a half ago, when we actually opened the church itself, after Changing Lives Now ministry plant, I began to think about what I preached, and I preached about who we are and what God told me. And God used different things, and God told me, I'm not calling the soft. I'm not calling the soft. I'm calling the hard. And so you think about that. If you're here, I'll be honest with you, you're hard. And when I say hard, I'm talking about you are staunch. You are a believer in Jesus Christ, because one of the things we don't do here is we don't promote buttercupness, amen. We don't allow you to stay stuck in sissy mode. You can go to sissy mode, but it just ain't going to work for you, because we'll bind it, rebuke it, and cast it into the pit of hell where it comes from. The Bible says that He's commanded you to be a warrior, a mighty warrior of Jesus Christ. It says that you can overcome such things that the enemy puts against you. He says you're so powerful and mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Stronger is He that is in you than he that is in the world. These is confident scriptures in you and who you really are. And so God sends us these people, you, and He sends you with great purpose. And our job is to tailor you to the Lord. Our job is to tell you the truth. Our job is to preach the gospel, not watered down. Our job is to really let you know that Jesus Christ died for you. And no matter where you're at and your ups and downs and your sideways thinking, it doesn't matter. He still loves you, and He would die for you again and again and again. So that's kind of who we are and what God wants for us. But that first message that I preached in the house when we started over there on that October the 11th day. And October the 11th somehow, and 11th, 12th, and 13th has become special to me somehow by accident. But, you know, the opened our first men's home in October, and I opened our first women's home in October. I started our first outreach ministry in October. I started Doors of Hope in October. I started Adopt a Block in October. I started my church in October. I began to think about all these things God was doing. I said, God, there must be something about October. And then when I was praying about this, He said, yeah, because it's fall. I said, oh, everything you're doing is because of the fall. Yeah. And that's what he showed me in my prayer last week. I said, man, God, you are unbelievable. You're gonna say, I'm going to take someone in the midst of a fall, in a broken, dilapidated church, in an abandoned house, in an abandoned neighborhood, in abandoned souls, and begin to reach and to love people unconditionally and to reassign value to them because they've had drugs and alcohol and all the other byproducts of this world. They feel like the enemy's checked them out and they have no value. Listen, most people I meet, they never had value assigned to them to start with. They was broken right from the rip, man, right from when they came into this world. Most people never even had an opportunity to walk into the reality of how good their God was. I didn't come from a family, God-fearing church, raised family. I came from the darkness. I came from hell, and God said, that's why I saved you. I want you to tell everybody how good your God is. And so I just keep telling you the same thing over and over. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. It don't matter how painful it gets. It don't matter how hurtful it is. He said this in that first sermon. He said, I'm taking you to the forgotten place, the ghetto. I'm taking you to some place nobody wants to go. And I kicked and screamed and hollered and fought him all the way. And when he got me here, he says, now I want you to be a coffee bean. And I use the carrot and the egg and the softness and the heat, the same adversity, but that coffee bean, that's what God showed me. He said, look, man, you're hard. You're going into the same adversity as the egg and the carrot. He said, they go in, come out different. He said, but you are my coffee bean. He said, I'm going to take you in hard. I'm going to bring you out hard. It doesn't matter. No matter what it does, I want you to change the circumstances around you. I want you to let them know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So I said I wasn't going to preach that this morning, but I just closed with it already. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter where you're at today, God is going to use you to change circumstances. He wants you to change those things around you. He wants you to break the generational curses off. He wants to heal you from the inside out. He wants everybody comes in contact with you. It doesn't matter where it's at. They're going to know they've encountered Jesus Christ himself. And then I got to thinking about one of them I like to, and I've had some comments on this one in the last couple of months, and so I started working on it. And I thought, this is really, truly the one that speaks the most about me. And I think this is the one that will resonate with you the very best also. Because I think I'm in the midst of people who have been broken in their life. Let's ask it this way. Is there anybody that's never been broken in the church today? Seriously, if you've never been broken, raise your hand. We're going to model you. There's nobody. We've all experienced brokenness. Some of us more so, some of us longer than others, but we've all experienced brokenness. It can be from an addiction that called you out. It can be from abuse that called you out. It can be from bad decisions that called you out. It can be from the loss of a loved one that called you out. And I can keep on naming it, but that's not who you are. And the enemy begins to say, that's who I'm identifying you as. And what you begin to say, no, you don't stamp my DNA. I'm stamped in the image of Jesus Christ. If anything that comes out of this ministry and why I stood over here and bawled like a baby seeing these little kids, not the adults, the little kids that said, I got some hope. I got some hope. I don't know if they've ever had hope. And if they haven't had hope, listen, they're going to get dope dealers in their life forever, and we are the hope dealers. Our job is to tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son. It doesn't matter how dark or hurtful this world is to you. Jesus died for you, and he rose again. So what I decided to preach on is something that if you haven't been here in the last, I preached this 5 years ago. But anyway, I'm going to preach to you today. I'm just going to go ahead and get into it and put the title of it up. Broken but still working. Broken but still working. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you folks is here from McKinley. Some of you is here from Safe Harbor. Some of you is here from Ethan's. And the list goes on. Many of us. Listen. I'm no different than you. And this is the thing that someone said to me last night exiting as we did our Saturday night service. Man, I thank God for you. And I said, time out a minute. Man, I thank God for you. Because here's the problem. The church thinks it's all about them somehow. But I was you. I was you. I was the addict. I was the homeless. I was the broken. But God said, I'm going to still use you to color. And I'm going to teach you today that broken crayons, they still color. And I want you to get it in your spirit today when the enemy's beating the hell out of you. I might be broken, but I'm still coloring. It doesn't matter what I've been through. It don't matter where what I've seen, what I've been exposed to. My God loves me. Yes, I'm talking about you. When I thought I'd preach today, I'm going to preach about you. I'm going to preach how blessed I am that God placed each and every one of you in my life and how much you mean to me. It's hard for me to orchestrate or to even illustrate a message that would tell you how much you mean to me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for me to have you sitting in the presence of the message of Jesus today from the infallible word of God, it means everything to me. Our job is to continue to encourage you with the word of God. And today, not only do I have this message broken but still working, second point that I've added, the second point, from pain to purpose. From pain to purpose. So here's your change. Everybody says, what's that mean? You're going to find out. So when we look at this, we begin to understand, excuse me, that we have pain with purpose. We don't just go through pain. It's got purpose. And we look at this from pain to purpose. It's talking about unity and diversity in the body of Jesus Christ. The direction that I want to focus on this morning is the spiritual characteristics of the church, specifically this church, as a living body, for it is the body of Christ that's to be in action. Amen? What is the church? That's a question. That's a $1 million question, as a matter of fact. I think the biggest question today is, where is the church? Not what is the church, but where is the church? The church has been emptied of her power because we are swaying away from the truth in the Word of God. We like bells and whistles. We like things that we ought not to be liking in the church of God. God's Word is the truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're going to a church listening to something that's contrary to that, cut it off. Because it's not of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now I got half the churches mad at me. I'll get done, I'll have the other half. Give me time. But listen to this. The purpose is the church. It is more than a building. It's more than stone or a wood or plaster or lights or anything you see here. It is a living, breathing body. It's not a dead or sterile body. It's rather, it's the body of Jesus Christ and Him alive in you. That's what the church is supposed to be all about. And when people say, I ain't getting fed at that church, you're saying, I ain't eating. You ain't eating because you ain't doing what you ought to be doing. And I'm going to prove that today, and that's the gut of the message that I changed today. Can you say amen? Can you say amen, all right? I said, oh, man. Excuse me. So listen to this. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians, what Paul penned for us, and chapter 12. As we look at this, we're going to talk about this unity and diversity in one body. Amen. For as the body is one and it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Keep going here. For by one Spirit, everybody say one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, when you read this, this is really, it's talking about us as believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, people say, well, I don't want to call myself a Christian because they ain't got a very good condensation to it anymore. That's all right. You're still a Christ follower. Okay? You can't say, I'm not going to be a Christian. You're saying, I ain't got him in me. I don't want to hear that. I want you to hear as I don't like what's being represented in Christ today. And inside of me, I want to show you that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Because everybody can look at you and say, you're too judgmental, too characteristic, flaw-finding people. You can see all this stuff, and the truth is that we're often not reflecting Christ very well. That's us. Believers are united, one spiritual body. It's what it's talking about. Individual believers, and we have unique roles. Everybody catch that? So people often say, well, what's I don't know what my call is. Yeah, you'll figure that out pretty quick, right? I don't know what God's will is. Well, go ahead and read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You find out God's will real quick. All right, let's keep going here. I don't get sidetracked. I can preach that one too. But listen to this. Everybody tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. You ready? Now that I got you understand, you got to tell your neighbor. Here it is. Tell them this. Put it up there. There we go. Amen. Let's pray and go home. Amen. Let's pray and go home. I just told Joel, I said, make him up here. I said, brother, I've known you too long. He said, how long? I said, about 24 years because we started the ministry right in there. I said, 23 to 24 years. And I said, brother, you still ugly as you was the first day I met you. After all that prayer. He said, you still ugly too. Right, Joel, where you at? I know you're still here. Where you at? You ain't ugly, brother. I love you, man. But, you know, I remember doing street evangelism, and he came out and he said, what's that big, ugly, white guy doing out here cooking hot dogs on a Saturday morning, passing out Bibles, and telling everybody that Jesus loves them? What is wrong with you? Do you know where you're at? And I said, yeah, I was looking for you. Yeah. And there he is.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling him in a way this, brother, you might be totally broken, come crawling up out of that crack house. That's not who you are. And brother, I ain't gonna quit on you. I'm gonna love you. You've lived with me for 2 years. You've worked for me for 2 years. You've been in my court for over 23 years. I never quit on you. I never will. I love you. I care about you. And that's what ministry is. Ministry is not about quitting on people. When you get too dirty, too ugly, too nasty, too vile, too whatever in tune with the enemy, you begin to come at me. I begin to come at you with the love of God through prayer, and that's who you are. We're to love each other and to pray each other. Shut your mouth and give it to God. I ain't got my bracelet on, WWJD. What would Jesus do? He's just going to go ahead and lead us in the right way. And I want you to know this, we got to love each other. I don't mean you got to really shut your mouth. My wife threw that part in. This morning, the scripture reminds me of us. We're all different. Every one of us is different. Yet we have so much, so incredible much in common. If we just look beside our differences, the same Holy Spirit fills me that fills you. It is also reminding me of this box of crayons, and that's what I'm going to preach on today is crayons. It reminds me of a box of crayons, many colors. Right? All right, look at that. Everybody got your boxes? Open them up. Yeah. Every one of them is exactly the same, but only different. Every one of them is exactly the same, only different. Each one of them is the same shape, wrapped in the same paper, got the same sharpening point on them. They're exactly the same, but yet they're incredibly different. Many colors, so often many different sizes, many brands. But they have one purpose still. Likewise, in the context of our scripture, the Bible begins to teach us that we have many parts, but we're still just one body. Jews and Gentiles, African Americans, Caucasians, big and little, Japanese and Chinese, male and female, old and young, fat and skinny. I better stop. Get myself in trouble. Fat and skinny, well, you get what I'm talking about. We are all different, but we are all exactly the same. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27 says, so God created man in his own image. Listen, I preached about this. I keep reminding Dylan. Dylan, you're a mistake. Well, you got to finish it. And go back to hell where you come from. We're created in the image of God. We're not a mistake. Down is not our destiny. We might have a hiccup. We might relapse. We might make a bad choice, but you're not the relapse. You're not the bad choice. You're not what that the enemy is trying to tell you you are. You're redeemed. You're healed. You're set free. Your feet is up on a solid rock. You are somebody in Jesus Christ. Look, that's what that means to me is this, is that we all look like God, created after his image, means that we got a look of Christ. We all have a voice, and our voice is of God. We all have a destiny, and it's to be with God. So what is your purpose is the question I wanted to ask for you today. What is your purpose? And from pain to purpose, what is your purpose? From pain to purpose, what is your purpose? Listen, God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a mistake. God never wastes something that took you down when he brings you back. Someone here today has come to find their purpose from the pain to the purpose. Your purpose may not be your job. It might not be your house or your clothes or your hair or your whatever you put on to you. Your purpose is what drives you. What drives you today? Not what you drive. Now, don't get it wrong. Your purpose makes you want to get up in the morning. And if you don't want to get up, you don't know what your purpose is yet. You got to have something that says, you know what, man, I'm getting up in the morning. I've been addicted for 17 years, and I got my first sober breath, and the devil had me and trapped me and drug me into the pits of hell. But I'm telling you that when God touched my soul, he woke me up, he rose me up, and I come to tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at that. So your purpose makes you want to get up and tell everybody. If you don't want to get up, you just don't find, haven't found your purpose yet, but God was about to show Moses his purpose. Check it out in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Everybody say, from pain to purpose. Moses experienced this as well. Verse 16, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up. Now, pause, time out. For this purpose I raised you up. All I've ever known is darkness, and I've never really known Christ. And I've, excuse. He said, I have called you. You will be the best mother you've ever seen. You will be the best grandmother that you've ever laid eyes on. You will be healed and redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Jesus. That's your answer. And matter of fact, that's your final answer, right? So we begin to look at this. God, what do you want out of me? Someone here today needs to hear this purpose, don't they? We begin to understand, and what's happening here in Exodus, it says, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up. He's brought you from the dark. He's brought you from hell and death. And I was sharing last night in the Saturday service. I said, look, man, if you've come from brokenness, so have I. All right, if you've been homeless, so have I. If you've been addicted, so have I. If you've been shot, stabbed, pronounced dead, so have I. I said, I don't care about none of that, man. Let me tell you how good my God is. Yes. And none of that matters. The devil took his best shot and he still lost. Yes. And that's what I want you to know. You're still sitting here today because you've took the best shot the enemy had. But God said, now I've called you. Let me read it again. It makes more sense. But indeed, for this purpose, that's you. I have raised you up that I may show you my power. Look at that. They ain't got it up. There we go. Look at what it says, my power in you. Everybody catch that piece? You see that piece right there? I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling in my finances. I'm struggling at a job. I'm struggling with anything. Look, I raised you up. I raised you up. But I raised you up with purpose. Everybody still with me? Look at this. Excuse me. It says, I may show you my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So when they look at you, are they saying, oh, there's that so-and-so again, says they following Jesus, living like hell. Or they say, man, there's a warrior of Jesus Christ, redeemed, healed, and set free. Look, Moses, who we're talking about, was born into a land where every one of the babies was murdered. They was killed. Moses had to be hidden in order to stay alive. We know this story, but Moses had to be adopted into another family. Moses had to be shifted he had to be shifted, if you will, and then even sifted to get into the palace. Moses had to murder someone to flee for his own life. Moses had to hide out and backslide, okay, on the backside of the desert. Moses had to stand before Pharaoh and be rejected time after time after time. And we're worried about getting rejected one time or having one up or down. Now, God says, I have raised you up for this very purpose. This is for us. God's raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you, he says, my power. He's telling you, hey, look, man, I know you can't do it. And that's what I was thinking about Jason, and I was thinking about you guys when you got married, and I remember the prayer that I had. And I said, Jason, Amanda, I don't know what's going on, but as you're sitting here, God says, I'm doing this for my power. Yeah, you come through a lot. I don't know about Jason as much, but I said, God's telling you. He said, I'm doing something here. Don't miss it. It ain't about your marriage. It's about unity in the body. It's about two becoming one. It's about a force to be reckoned with. It's about calling others out of their darkness. It's about raising up warriors inside the kingdom of God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? When God calls you, he's calling you and he equips you, amen? It's important not to forget that. He said, now that God says, I have raised you up for this very purpose that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed on all the earth from pain to purpose. This is one of the gut shots I put in this message before. Romans chapter 8. Listen to this. I've been working on a message on this, and as I was working on this, I want you to get this real good because I think sometimes we prostitute Christ. I think we do. I think we just act like he's some kind of punk that we can treat any old way we want to, and that's not who our God is. He's a God of order. He wants obedience, and he wants sacrifice. That's who God is, amen? But look at this. And we know that all things work together for good, for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, for we know that all things work together for God. Look at that. It's powerful, isn't it? Yeah. Wait, what's that saying? And we know that. Listen to this. I want you to get this. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Listen, there's something wrong here. I'm not trying to be rude. I want this to resonate in your spirit. You're getting held accountable, but you're still hanging out with the wrong people. And then someone will call you out, and God's saying, look, I'm just trying to shift you, shiftology. I'm taking you somewhere stronger. You ready for it? No, not really. Look, I want you to quit going to them same places, and somebody's going to see you going in there and say, don't go in there. Right? Oh, well, why you always got to be judging me? Right? Because we love God. I love God more than I love you. I love God more than I love my wife. I love God more than my kids and grandkids. God is first in my life. And that's the way we need to live life. So all of a sudden, when you begin to look at this, there's something in the scripture that's incredibly, incredibly important for those who love God, not those who prostitute, punk, or disrespect God and act like, oh, I just chump him every time and you keep coming back and forth. He said, I need you to love me. If you love me with everything in you and quit quitting on yourself, I got you, right? Let me keep going here. But the second part of that is you're called according to his purpose, not yours. Amen. But I want my agenda. You see how powerful my ministry is? Look what God's doing with me. Again. Power down so God can power up. For those who love God, for those who choose. Everybody say choose. Choose. This choose word is important. We got to choose to orient our lives to Christ. God doesn't equal comfortable. That's not what it equals. Okay, God, good doesn't even equal comfortable. Not comfortable, but conformed. Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Your future self is worth the wait. You are worth it, and you must learn to wait upon the Lord. He doesn't need your help to help get you where you want to go, to get your life partner, to do the things that you think you got to help him with. He said, if you'll be still and know that I am Lord, I will do it. But are you ready? Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm ready. He said, then why are you listening to Satan? Let me keep going. Your future self is absolutely worth it. Is it possible you're not ready to steward the increase? Look at that. Everybody read it with me. Read it. Well, I'm going to share that with you because that's what I had to learn. I told you, he always beats me up first, right? But the truth was, as God showed me, years ago, standing across the street, giving me an abandoned church, and I already had a couple other gigs in Atlanta and Columbus where I could say, man, I'm going there, and I got big congregations, churches already done. I don't got to do nothing. He said, no, man. He said, I've broken you. And he said, I allowed you to be broken. And he said, I put you back together so I can use you. I said, but God, I don't want to go to 330 South Plum Street. I'm going to whine and cry and kick all the way. But can I tell you, as I was reflecting this week, there's probably about 20 to 40, I don't know the count, of ministers, pastors of the gospel of Jesus Christ over the United States that came right through here. You know that? They're broken people. But they learn how to collar again. There's a lot of people that's come through here in addiction. And they're some of the most powerful people I know now. Because they got a hold of what I'm talking about. The enemy tried to wipe me out and kill me. But he didn't do it. He took his best shot, and he still lost. But we must orient ourselves towards God and his will for our lives. And if we don't do that, we're in trouble. Can you say amen? And then the second part of this scripture, I'm going to get the gut piece out of there real quick. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Everybody say conformed. Conformed to the image of his son. He's in you and you look like him, so be like him, act like him, and talk like him, and be about his business. He said, now I won't make you look like me. I'm putting me inside of you with this Holy Spirit, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's foreknowledge leads us to predestination for believers to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. This emphasizes God's sovereign plan for transforming every believer. And this is where I have a problem in this church today. As people come in, they're so defeated, they don't believe that they can't be something besides an alcoholic or a drug addict or a prostitute or whatever you want to put on them. But I'm telling you right now, that is not how God created you. It's just a side effect of what the world's accused you of. And God says, I'm telling you, if you'll get up in their ear and say, Jesus Christ is your Lord, you'll begin to believe it. Yes. See, this emphasizes God's sovereign plan, not ours, for transforming you and I into his likeness. To Christ's likeness refers to be conformed, to completely unrecognizable, to be completely changed. And I share all the time, I've been saved 30 years. And listen to all of you who's recently saved, who's come out of addiction and homelessness and brokenness. I want to tell you, 30 years later, I love Jesus Christ. You cut me, and David Wilkerson says, I should bleed Jesus Christ. And that's how I feel about me. But still today, 31 years later, they're still saying, that guy ain't no good. That was the worst guy in the world. That guy can't be saved. That guy this, that guy that. They're talking about a dead man, amen. And I'm telling you, I've been born again and raised and sit at the right hand of the Father with my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is God's plan for those who love him. The question is, not with your lip service, but with your heart service, do you really love him? And are you really called according to his purpose? He lets you go from the pain for his purpose. He says, from pain to purpose. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I told you that I was already inspired by a box of crayons again. And I just found out this morning that if you say nobody puts baby in the corner, it dates you on how old you are. How many knows what I'm talking about? Don't put baby in the corner. Yeah, you bunch of old people. Yeah. Yeah, I think Steve's the one to come up with that phrase. Was this you, Stevie? Oh, it's Todd, yeah. He threw his brother right on the bus. He said, welcome to the club. All right, so. Remember I told you about these crayons. Everybody got their crayons still? Yes. All right, look, they're all exactly the same, but only different, right? They are all different. No two colors are the same, yet they all have the same purpose. We are not to fight each other. We are not to get under each other's skin. We are here to help establish each other for the purpose of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. What if all of us worked together, if everyone did their part? What would this house, this church, this body of believers really look like? You hear what I'm saying to you? In Ephesians 4, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people. It's not about you. I get sick and tired of talking to people. There's a new church in town. And they said, we want to tell you we're an apostle this. And I said, man, shut up. Where's your anointing at, man? You're checking it right there. I don't want to hear that garbage. I want to hear, I'm a sacrificed follower of Jesus Christ. I want to hear, man, I died, and God rose up in me. I want to hear who he is, right? But it's to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might may be built up so they can find their purpose is what this is saying. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Everybody say mature. Everybody say, I got to grow up. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, united by our faith, then we will be mature. We will be completely like him, but we must unite our faith and together as the body of Christ. Now, Jesus equips believers for service and to build the body up, not tear it down. He takes us from the pain to the purpose. The leaders are to unify, to mature, to fully develop folks in the knowledge of Christ. Someone gave me a great compliment the other day. They was talking about a church closing, and they said, well, you can come to our church. You might not like it, but he's going to preach the truth. And this, I'm paraphrasing. He'll kick you right in the teeth and make you like it. All right, and I said, yeah, that's what I do. I preach the truth. I preach the Word of God, and I don't water it down, and I love you so much I don't care if you like it. Amen. I hope you don't like it if there's something wrong. Amen. Unity and maturity is what we're to obtain so believers are not easily swayed by false teaching or the feelings. Feelings are real. They cannot be authoritative. When they begin to run your life, they begin to ruin your life. You got to come to the place where you begin to know who you are and whose you are. Until you come to that maturity, you will not. I ain't tithing there no more. They don't know who they think I am, but I ain't tithing. God said, you ain't doing nothing, fool, but robbing yourself. And I was like, I figured it out. I took his 6 or 8 checks that I held on to. I said, well, I'm going to put them in, God. He said, well, matter of fact, pay interest on them while you're at it. That's just my story, right? Think about it. I'm going to try to tell God how to do something. That's not how it works, but we got this frailty that thinks we're going to tell God, we're going to work it all out. He says, man, until you know it's about me, it ain't going to never work. There's something about collaring. Something about collaring. Everyone loves it. You will catch a little baby, a little child like Zariah. We had her the other day, and she was collaring. It's just beautiful. She was entertained by the crayons all over the place, nowhere inside of a line. Or you'll see an old grandma or grandpa, 80 years old, sitting at Burger King, and they're collaring. They're content. They're enjoying the coloring book and what God's allowing them to do. Amen? The two paintings are alike. Look at this. The two fingerprints for two pupils, old or young. No two pupils are the same. Did you know that? You guys didn't know that? You guys are super smart. I didn't know that. All right, but no two pupils are the same in an eye. Okay, here's why. The pupils, they are all different, but when you look at these fingers, our fingers are all different. That's how they get our fingerprints, right? But every one of our fingers are different. How in the world, Lord, did you do that? Right? No two alike. So the fingers are all made to do the same exact same thing. All of our fingers pick noses, right? Right? Well, some of us, they pick butt. But the truth is, all fingers have a purpose, and they do the same thing. The eyes are different, but all are made to do exactly the same thing. This reminds me of a story of these two little girls that inspired me to originally write this message about a box of crayons. Now, listen to this. These two little girls were sitting at a table, and they was coloring. While one child was coloring, the other was crying because they didn't have a crayon. They didn't have a crayon. Aw. They didn't have a crayon to color with. And all of a sudden, the little girl coloring, she began to break out into tears. And as that one was coloring, broke out in tears, now they're both crying. And the daddy asked, what happened, baby? What happened to you, right? He said, oh, she said, I broke my crayon. Daddy, everything just went bad. It broke my crayon. I can't color no more, and I'm going to be a ball baby like my sissy, right? Then Daddy smiled and said, you guys, everybody parents here? Yeah. Daddy smiled and said, well, now that it has broken, you can share it. Now that it is broken, stingy self, I can share it. I'm like, listen, I'm not done with you yet. This is setting up, right? Now that it is broken, you can share. Someone needs to hear this morning. Someone needs to know without a shadow of a doubt you're here today because you've been broken. I'm here today because I was broken, so I could tell you. You're here today because you've been broken, and he wants you to tell someone else. You have nothing to share until you are broken. You have nothing to share until you are broken. Tony, come up here. Hurry. Don't touch any other crayons but this one. Okay, I want you to go ahead and put something up here. Put something up there.
I don't have a crayon.
Well, yeah, you do. Just put something up there. You don't have anything, do you?
I got my finger.
Well, look. Put something up there. See, it's broken now. You can write your name. That's me and you. It's the body in action, right? So it's me and you taking something that God, look, it's one. We're one person. But God says, I'm doing something with you. And I'm going to break you so you can be used. You have nothing to share until you are broken. Now, both of these girls were happy because they both had a crayon. It was only half of it because it had broken. But because it was broken, there was something to now share. Watch this. She had nothing to share until her crayon was broken. Broken crayons steal color. All right, Dylan, come on up here. Jonathan, come on up here. Hustle, man. Well, I want you up here. I want you up here right now. This is military preaching. Come on, let's go. If you ain't going to run up, sit down. If you ain't going to run up, sit down. Give me Jana, come on up here. Come on up here. If you ain't going to hustle up, sit down. I love this stuff. It's like military. Bree, get up here. There you go. Whew. We got the learners and the slow learners. We're willing to work on them. Bet, can you hear me all right still? They have nothing to share. In the midst of this, in the midst of their addiction, in the midst of their brokenness and separation, in the midst of their best decision, in the midst of their best living, no matter what you want to put, they have nothing to share. It's all about me. Now they got saved, and guess what? They still don't have nothing to share. Because now I'm judgmental. I've got it together. What is your problem? Can you take a look at me? Look how pretty I am, how awesome I am, how whatever I am. Me, 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 me. That's what happens. People begin to say, well, I got saved. Well, what'd you do with it? What'd you do with it? Salvation, when you get saved, is to tell every other lost person that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son. That's it. So now they got their own crayon. Come on up here. Hurry. You can go first. Dad, I didn't ask you to pick up nothing. Put that down. You go ahead and you write on there everything about you that's good and that God's done for you. Go ahead. Hurry up. Hurry up. You don't have nothing? You don't have nothing? Okay, we'll step aside. Come on, Dylan. Hurry up. Don't touch the crayon. Go ahead and write everything that's so good about you since you've been saved. Put it all up there. He's faking it to make it. That's one of the things everybody tells you. Step over there. Come on over here. Let me hold this for you. Now go ahead and write everything on there.
Write with my heart?
Right. You can use your heart if you want to. Follow your heart. It'll lead you to hell. Go ahead and sit down. Go ahead and go over there. Come on, Jonathan. Come on over here. Right up there.
I can't.
You can't? I can't. I can't do it. I got saved. I can't tell nobody about you. Go on over here. You see what I'm saying? You're feeling this, ain't you? But here's the truth. Come on over here. Whoever wants to go first. Come on, I don't care who it is. I want to share with you. You've been broken. And I want to share with you because God saved me to save you. I want you to write on there, draw a picture of how good God is to you. Do it. Start writing on there and tell him, God, I love you. Tell him how beautiful he is. Tell him how thankful in the midst of your addiction, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of generational curses, everything that the enemy wanted to destroy you. You was nothing until you met Jesus, and then you became everything. You couldn't write nothing on there. And you come from being nothing but never respected, but always abused, mistreated as a little girl, sexually abused, addicted, broken. And the enemy kept telling you, you are nothing. You'll never be nothing. And you walked in here, and I said, there you go. Begin to write your story. You're more than a ruby. You are a champion in Jesus Christ. You are an overcomer. You have defeated darkness. Stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Go, Jesus, go. We're going to cheer you on. And we met you, and you said, and the question in our Saturday night service was, where in the hell was God when my baby died? Where in the hell was God when I was in addiction and brokenness? Where in the hell was God when he quit on me and left me? And I hate God, and I don't like nothing about God. I said, hold on a minute. Let me begin to share my crayon with you. I was broken, too, and I got babies in heaven, too, but I'll see them again. Begin to write your story. Begin to understand I'm wrong.
going to redeem you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to take nothing and make something. Stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank you. Oh, come on. I have nothing to write or say. And God says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You must be lost. God, I'm going to sit in the parking lot. And I'm just going to say, if God, if this is the place I'm supposed to be at, have welcome me home. I walk by and say, hey, good to see you. Walk by and say, man, hey, God told me to welcome you home. And you said, what? He said he sent you here so you can begin to write your story again. And I want you to begin to know you're not homeless no more. You're not sexually abused no more. You are not broken no more. You've been delivered and healed and set free in the name of Jesus.
Free. I'm free.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Right here, line up. Come on, right here to line up. Look at me. So when the world painted this picture of utter destruction and darkness, he told you you was nothing. He told you you would never be anything. You would die lost. You would never be restored. You don't have a story, but somebody gave you a broken crayon, and they believed in you. They said you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And all of a sudden, he said, I want you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. You heard four stories of 140 that's in this building. I could have called all of you up here. But God picked the right ones, and it touched you too. Every one of your stories are exactly the same. You was finished. You was wiped out by the enemy. You had experienced destruction. You had bought the bait of Satan. You had thrown in the towel, and you quit. God told this church, don't you quit. We've been through financial ruins. We've been in COVID when every single church in Clark County was closed but us. In the midst of COVID, we grew bigger than we ever grew, had the biggest home live audience than we've ever had. We've seen souls saved and people set free, and many of you here today because we would not quit on you. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. I don't care. It might kill us, but we're going to die praising God. We're going to die telling everybody that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you wonder why you're here, because I can tell you why you're not here. Abortion did not define you. It did not define you. Addiction did not define you. Childhood sexual abuse did not define you. Mental illness and psychotropic drugs did not define you. Who defines you is Jesus Christ. Who you are is a child of the Most High God. Stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's hear it for our attendants, our helpers here today. Let's hear it for them. That is redemptive work. Yes, Lord. In closing, I want to close with the 34th Psalm. The 34th Psalm specifically, verses 17 and 18. I want you to hear this loud and clear. It says, the righteous, that's you, cry out loud. The righteous cry out. The four I just shared with you, that Jonathan, when you begin to cry out to God, he began to heal your broken heart. Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you begin to cry out, listen to this, and the Lord hears you and delivers you from out of the troubles that you're currently, God responds to the cries of his righteous people. He has comfort for those who are suffering, is what this is saying. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And he saves such as have a contrite spirit. But listen, this is CEV. This is John's version. CEV. When his people pray for help, he listens and he rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope. Is that us? He's there to rescue us. You have nothing to share until you are broken. And even broken crayons, they still color. You hear me? As the praise team comes up and we close this morning, I know we got some festivities, but man, that stuff can all wait, right? You ain't got nothing else to do today anyway. As they come up, I stand over the house. The altar is open like always. Please come forward if you see fit. We want you to go out today and know these broken crayons still color. Go out there and color your purpose. Find your purpose and color. Let the word of God ring out in its power and its authority. Let the spirit of God move. Allow it to do its convicting and drawing work that it needs to do on you, just like you just seen on that poster board. Let us hold our head up high and stand up straight and let the world know that we are a church. We are saved by God's amazing grace. We're not what we used to be. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we come from pain to purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is today, you don't know what's making you tick, you think you might be distracted, man, this is a great place to find it.